What's up? Welcome to episode 228 of PS4 Blackcast. I am JCM. With us this week is Messiah.
Hello.
And Izzy's getting a haircut, and it's taking a little longer than he expected, so he might not be able to make it. It's probably going to be a short one. There wasn't a whole lot of news, so... And I mainly just played Battlefront 1, so I don't have a game to go off on, and I don't know what size I'm playing, so maybe she'll go off in a game. Who knows? But as far as new releases go, we had Call of Duty. I believe the Hitman next bit of... chunk.
The last one, I think.
Yeah, the last one came out. I saw reviews of that, and people like it a lot. Mm-hmm. And then, was Skyrim this past week, or was it the week prior?
I think it was the week before.
Right. I think we might have talked about it. But, yeah, I know that's out. It's been getting okay reviews. I guess there's some audio issues, and the fact that the PS4 version, anyways, doesn't get... external asset mod support, so.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been any official reviews on Call of Duty yet. I see this year, whoever reviewed it for IGN, they don't seem to like it as much. Like, typically, I mean, I guess maybe they'll raise the score once they get the online portion, because typically that's what carries everyone through, is the fact that the online is always, you know, competent and top of the class, really. Mm-hmm. But, a little disappointing to read. It sounds like the story wasn't as great. I was kind of hoping it'd be up there because they have some people, some ex-Naughty Dog people that worked on it. Granted, I haven't read every review, so I don't know if it was just this one person didn't like it or what, but I might still have to check it out at some point. I know they have the Call of Duty Complete Movie up on YouTube. It's like an hour and a half of cutscenes.
Hmm.
Maybe I'll just check that out. But yeah, and outside of that, I think that was basically it. So as far as news is going... that game company is pulling a Red Dead and teasing their next game in the way they did it. So the first image was like two candles. One candle was lighting another candle. And I think they had I'm trying to see if they had like because it was a tweet. And I'm trying to see if they had text that went along with it, but I can't. Oh, game about giving with the teaser image. And then the next image shows like... looks like four kids. It looks like from Peter Pan or something. Like they're flying off to Neverland. And then the biggest image is like this cloud in the background with these lights on it. And then there's like a stone structure with a light on it and some painted rocks. But yeah, no news on the game. Just more images. They just released pieces of artwork and... they announced the game, which is, here you go. So I'm sure maybe that'll be at a PSX or something. I guess it'd be cool. That'd be another announcement for PSX to have.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Apparently the next Tomb Raider got leaked, from a fucking blurry ass picture that someone took. I'm like, it's like the picture overall isn't that blurry. Like the guy's hand isn't that blurred. The monitor isn't that blurred in the image, neither are the guy's like pants, so I don't understand where that motion's coming from. I get it, they're on a train, but it's just so out of focus. I'm like, you couldn't take a better picture? Like, I've taken pictures in motion that look better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, so I kind of take it with a grain of salt. Plus, it's just a PowerPoint presentation. Like, anybody can mock up a fucking PowerPoint and just go on the train and be like, oh, well, because I mean, we did have that case for that one Assassin's Creed on it was like a plane or something. The guy just had it open on his iPad, watching like a cinematic, and the person sat next to him, I think it was like, hey, what's that? He's like, oh, it's this new game. And then like, that's how that leaked. but this, I'm kind of, you know, just whatever. If you say it's there, just like I said, because it's a PowerPoint, like anybody can mock that up.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no actual, you can't read the detail. Like he didn't, because it looks like he's leaning over the seat or something, unless he's sitting next to the guy and just kind of turned and tilted it. But it's like, yeah, come on, man. Be a better sleuth. Get that data. but yeah, so who knows? I mean, it seems a little quick because last time when they did Tomb Raider, they worked on some other games in between. Granted, if they only had a portion of their team working on the PS4 port for the past year, and the rest were working on a new game, I feel like if it was going to come out in 2 years from the Xbox release, that would be fine, but that would only be a year after the PS4 launch, and then it kind of gets that annualized feel to it. and that might concern people, you know. I wouldn't mind if they had another Tomb Raider so quickly. I'd be like, I feel like annualization isn't always a bad thing in some cases. It's
as
just
long as they do it right.
Right. And if it's different teams or at least an appropriate amount of time, like I said, if they worked on it after working on the last one, then hey, that's plenty of time from the original release. Or if you have multiple studios and stuff like they do with AC, it's just if you don't start innovating it enough, and then it's like, okay, well, now you guys just aren't not doing enough between these iterations. But yeah, so who knows if that'll turn out to be true. I guess if it's a PowerPoint presentation, it feels like, hey, here's the idea for what we think we could do for the next game. Seems like it's just in the planning stages. And we wouldn't have anything, like they wouldn't even be in development. Like obviously they have assets because they have Laura and all that junk. But yeah, it just seems like it'd be super early, but who knows. Then we had another tease for DLC from Ubisoft for Rainbow Six Siege, the Japanese based operators and maps. I saw leaked footage on Reddit the other day looking like in a Japanese style building with like the paper walls, and I don't know if they have a technical name, but they run around that for a bit, so that's good. I haven't played Rainbow Six Siege in a while. I didn't play much after the last expansion came out with those operators. I played a little bit, yeah, but I didn't play as much as I wanted. That is a game I really wish I had more time to play, or because it's such a team-focused game that I only want to play that game with other people, and trying to get my cousin doing things is a pain in the ass, but now I have Battlefield, so I was like, well, I'm kind of sucked into Battlefield, so I don't know. But and then other than that, there were some images shown for what Titanfall 2 will look like on the Pro for the 1080 version PS4 versus the 1080 version PS4 Pro version. So it's like, just you see the extra detail you get, and it's pretty obvious, especially in the gloves, like the details in the gloves holding the gun. You can see that increase a lot. There's other details in like the lighting and the way certain things look. Unfortunately, not exact lined up screenshots. Like typically I like that the best, is when a screenshot's lined up perfect where you can just tab left and right, but it's like it just happens from the same area that's lined up as best as they could. But yeah, it looks good. It's funny, Sony, or the official PlayStation blog, released the list, like, oh, here's a list of 39 games that will be ready at launch or pro compatible at launch. And I read the list, it was on the 3rd, so I read the list on the 3rd, and I was like, oh, hey, Battlefield 1's on there. And even though I haven't seen or read any details about what the pro patch for for Battlefield 1 will be, so I'm getting all my words backwards. DICE hasn't said anything, like, if it's just 4K, is it an HDR patch, is it going to be more detail for 1080p? Because if it's more detail in 1080p, I mean, that game looks great already, I don't know what else you're going to add to it. But that's on there. And then later, I saw the same article posted on the US blog, and Battlefield 1 wasn't on it. And I was like, what? I was like, what happened to Battlefield 1? I was like, I was kind of excited to pick up the Pro because I'm playing Battlefield 1. I get that little bonus. And then I look at, for some reason, the US version of the blog doesn't have the Battlefield 1 listed, but the EU version does. But I don't know if maybe the US version got posted, and because they do say we'll keep adding to this list as it goes on, or as more games get announced. So maybe he did the US version first and then added it to the EU version because they found out about Battlefield and didn't update the US version. But it was kind of weird because it was from the same person, posted on the same day. So it was like, it was throwing me off. I was like, why do you not have it listed on this one, but you have it on this one? Mm-hmm. You are confusing me. But yeah, there's a good list of games. I'm trying to see if I knew that Infamous First Light was going to be on there because they announced it at the event, but I didn't know if Second Son was going to be added, and apparently the Second Son will get some stuff. But yeah, apparently they say, man, Infamous looks great in HDR, which I'd imagine it would, especially with the neon powers.
Yeah.
Which kind of really makes me want to play that replay. I never did finish First Light. I think I got halfway through that DLC, and maybe I'll go back and finish it up. Yeah, looking at the list of games that got announced, yeah, obviously Uncharted, of course. I guess Last of Us is going to be native 4K. Granted, that kind of makes sense because a lot of those assets aren't 4K assets to begin with, so it's a little easier to do that. But yeah, let's see. Yeah, I'm trying to look at the other games on here if there's anything like older that I could. Hustle Kings is such a weird one, but yeah, like I said, Shadow Mordor. I'll go back and finish that game because I never did. Who knows? I'll do that. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. Looking forward to that. I know some stores have broken street date and given out the consoles early, but no one near me, of course. I just need a box at my other PS4 so I get traded in because they bumped the price back up for PS4 trade-ins back up to 150 from 125. So I got to trade that in. The problem is I only have one good controller because my primary controller had the joystick rub off and I lost my extra set of sticks that I bought. So I've been using my secondary PS4 controller as my primary, and then if I trade it in I have to bring in a fully functioning PS4 controller, so I'm going to bring in the one I'm currently using and then just start using the Pro one from that console. So I have to wait, otherwise I would have traded in much earlier. And I don't want to buy a stick and take apart the controller and put the new stick on just to, that's a little bit of work. But especially with that, the spring for the R2 or the shoulder buttons can be a pain if that falls out and you're like, oh, I gotta put this thing back in. Mm-hmm. It's a bit annoying. It reminds me of the fucking trigger springs for my airsoft guns. Fucking pain in the ass to get back in if those things come out. It's like, god damn. But yeah. Other than that, not a whole lot else. We had BlizzCon's going on. They announced a new Overwatch character, Sombra. They showed that character trailer for her. It looks interesting. They also announced that they announced they're bringing the Diablo 1 style dungeons with the whole gameplay setup and that old graphics into Diablo 3 as part of a dungeon option, and assuming that's across all versions of Diablo. They're also bringing in a new class to Diablo 3, the Necromancer. It's weird that they're bringing in class so late in the game, but I guess, I don't know. I mean, people played Diablo 2 like forever after it came out, so I guess people still play that, but I know a lot of people were wondering if they're going to tease like a Diablo 4, which I feel like it'd be a little too early for that, but
I don't think they will.
Yeah. Not much else from there that's important to really PS4 stuff, but yeah, because everything else is all like Wikipedia's for getting secrets in Call of Duty. Hideo Kojima loving Westworld.
Of course he would.
He's saying that it follows my game design philosophy. Like, they're designed for their world.
It makes no goddamn sense, and it's weird as fuck.
Yeah, I love it. Oh, that show's so good. I'm like, man, now I wish I want a Westworld, a version of it, like a season where it's just a version of that world designed by him and Guillermo del Toro, like a horror world version. And then, or a mech one, like a giant mech comes out of nowhere. I gotta take it down. But yeah, I'd love, now I kind of want him to work on that style of TV show. Like, that'd be awesome. Like, just to be there and help them create another season. You gotta do this. Like, this shit's gonna be crazy. As long as the fifth child's in it, that's all I care. I need some Psycho Mantis. But yeah, and outside of that, yeah, not much else in the way of news. It was really light this week. Yeah, so I guess that's it for that. What have you been playing recently?
Animal Crossing.
Yeah, I saw you make some tweets about being mad about someone moving into a house or something.
Listen, Animal Crossing is very serious business.
Yeah.
And when you ruin, somebody ruins the aesthetic that you're going for in your town, it's a travesty.
You gotta.
But they did an update, which is like the first time they've ever updated like a major update to like a game that they've released before. And they added all of these new features, all of this new like gameplay stuff. They made a bunch of tweaks and like additions and all this cool stuff. And so like you can use amiibo cards to move villagers in to your town rather than like hoping and praying that you get the one that you want or finding somebody who has it and willing to like trade it to you and let them move in.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, sweet, I have this card for one of my favorite villagers. I could never get him to move into my town. People want ridiculous things in exchange for him. I'm going to move him into my town. So I started changing things around and I started redecorating and I was like, okay, I'm ready. I'm going to move him in. So I scanned his little card and he's like, cool, I'm going to move in tomorrow. He moved right into the middle of like a path I was clearing to decorate and is like in the most inconvenient fucking spot in the world. And I was like, ah.
You can't force him to get out of there?
You can, sort of. Like, you can just not talk to them. And because I've been time traveling, I don't give a shit. I don't play it, like, progressively with, like, normal time progression or whatever. So, like, you can just time travel and not talk to them, and they'll eventually move away. And but I was just like, God damn it.
That's
like,
fine.
I had all of these open places that were, like, ready for villagers to move into, and they were great, and they were out of the way, and they looked good, and he moved into the one fucking spot where I didn't, like, put anything down. Because I was like, he surely will move into this one, because there's so many other ones that are open. Nope. That's not how Animal Crossing works, so.
That's funny.
Yeah, but it's a lot of fun. Like, I adore this update, and it makes me really, really hopeful for like future games like this. Do like if they make an Animal Crossing for the Switch, I'm thinking it's gonna be like a game that lasts a decade because they can just keep adding to it and tweaking it. And like if they make any other spin-off games, they'll add stuff to it relating to the spin-off games. And so it's like I just get so excited.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, all I've been doing. I haven't even logged on to 14 since the update.
Yeah, I know my cousin's been playing 14, but he hasn't been saying anything. I don't think he's actually been doing anything. He just logged in. And I'm like, motherfucker. Because I keep telling him, I was like, when are you going to get Battlefield 1? And he's like, yeah, I don't know. It's like, I need 14 stuff. He's like, I guess if Mana gets it, I'll pick it up. Or if Kurt gets it, I'll pick it up. Or I'm like, motherfucker, I got it. Why aren't you getting it with me? He's like, he needs like a million other people. I'm like, you son of a bitch. I'm like, he's like, yeah, we barely have. I'm like, I have the most amount of time on that we could play together than anyone else. And it's just like, yeah, when the homeless guy down the street gets it, I'll get it. Son of a bitch, just get the fucking game. But luckily, I've been playing with some people from work, and then they have some buddies who join in, and then I got one of my FF friends to. He picked it up and we've been playing, so I'm assuming at some point my cousin will get it, but I don't really care. It's like he's like trying to get that guy to play anything is such a fucking pain in the ass. Like he talked to Game about a while back, he's like, oh man, we play Civ 6 and blah blah blah. He's like, he ain't gonna pick Civ 6 up. And then like, oh, we gotta play the StarCraft co-op stuff. And fucking, we did that for a bit and then he just dropped off. That guy's fucking flaky as shit. So non-committal. But yeah, other than that, I've just been playing Battlefield 1 primarily. I'm almost finished with the campaign. I just have two missions left, but I keep putting off doing the multiplayer stuff, and that game is just a ton of fun. It's weird, because typically in Battlefield 3, like, I always preferred the rush game type. I don't know why I love that game type a lot more. I think it's because it was focused. The enemies, the two teams would always meet at the same spot, and I just did rush, and I didn't really enjoy Conquest. I did play it a bit. I liked it on some maps, but not all the time. And then I didn't play any other game type. So basically just rush. And then on Battlefield 4, it was the same way. I hardly did any Conquest. I did some, but same thing, just kind of stuck with the rush. I liked Conquest on a few more maps in that game, especially some of the DLC maps. I think because I liked it better on Conquest on 4 because it was on PS4, so you had more players. You actually had 64 players. Where Conquest on PS3 was always stuck to 32. I think maybe it was 48, I don't remember. But it wasn't 64 players. And so then for some reason with Battlefield 1, like I love playing Conquest, and that's like a mode I typically don't play. And I tried playing Rush last night, and it's just like I wasn't feeling it. I was like, I just don't like this. I was like, I don't know. It's weird. You know, like I totally flipped with this game. I love playing Conquest. I like playing Domination. That's pretty fun because it's just a smaller version of Conquest. And then I'll also play, I played a little bit of Team Deathmatch, just for shits and giggles. I think I had a, they introduced this medal system that's a lot like the challenge, daily challenges that Rainbow Six Siege has. I'm sure there's other games that have it. It's just, that's the only game recently I know of that I played that has it. Where like, it gives you 5 medals and they last for a week. So you have a week to do these. And each of them has 3 tiers of challenges. And each medal is a specific subset of challenges. They're always related. It's never going to be randomized, but the 3 are for that 1 medal. So like, one might be for, it'll be explosives related. So it'll be like, you equip the medal and it's like, get 10 kills with explosions. And then the second one might be like, get 20 kills with, you know, blah, 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 or 10 kills with a mounted artillery gun. Or, and then the last one's like, do something else this. So there are all these little things that you could try to do during a match, and each tier gives you more XP. So it's kind of like a, to help you level up kind of thing. The first week when I had the game, the challenges I had sucked. They were like a bunch of stuff I didn't want to do. They were for classes I didn't want to play. But luckily this time they were stuff that were pretty easy, and one of them happened to be Team Deathmatch related. So I was like, okay, well, I have to play Team Deathmatch now, so because I want these. I want this bonus XP. Got to level up a little quicker. But yeah, the game is just, it's just a ton of fun. I love the guns, just the fact, you know, that they're all World War One era and all. Next day, like, there's, and not knowing how something's going to work, because it's like I can figure, like, in a modern game, it's like, oh, an AK, I know how an AK is going to work. An M15 or an M16 variant or an M4 variant, I know how those are going to work. I know how all the, they're all basically going to feel the same, just with minor tweaks to make it game balanced, where it's not every gun is totally alike. But with World War One stuff, it's like, oh, I have no idea. And it's just, and there's no test range, unfortunately, like there was in the last games, where you can actually, you know, drive stuff around or fly around a plane to get used to it or shoot the guns. There's no, none of that. So it's the only downside. You can't like go test a gun you've never used and see if you like it before you buy it. Cause you have to, you spend war bonds to unlock new weapons and equipment, which I think is really smart, because then you're not pigeonholed to whatever current class you're working on. You are mm-hmm. in the sense that each class has 10 ranks. And there are some guns and gear that you can only get as you rank up that class. But for the most part, a good chunk of them are just bought through war bonds. So if I get tired of playing medic and I'm like, oh, I want to go play support or assault, I could just unlock a bunch of guns for that or gear and not have to worry about being, you know, rank 2 or rank 3 or up to 10. It's like, it doesn't matter. I can just unlock them. And I think that's really good. I like that aspect of it. But yeah, the game is just, it's real good. I'm hoping I can capture like some decent footage as I want, because I think it'd be funny to make like a music video using war. I think that'd be really funny. War! I think it'd be great. It'd just be like a comical video. I had this weird moment where I haven't had too many glitches in the game. I had this one, it's like a revive glitch that I heard about. I've only had it happen to me twice. Where like, if you get revived, sometimes you might be stuck going ADS down whatever your weapon was that you're using, but you can switch it just by switching your weapons and you can fix it. It is weird when you pop, you're like, what? It's like you're playing was it like Doom 1 or something, where the gun's just in the center of the screen and you're like, what? But it's easily fixed. I also think you can't reload when it's stuck like that until you switch, but I've only had that happen twice, and so no big deal. And then I did have a weird ass issue where I ran, took an objective, got off my horse, took the objective, and then ran around to get back on my horse, but my horse decided to shove his head into the wall and kill himself. And I was like, the fuck? I posted a video of it. I was like, you fucking horse. But aww. Yeah, it's like, I'll see if I can get the, I made a GIF of it as well. I'll see if I can find. But yeah, it was just like, that was,
I just couldn't deal.
Yeah, I was like, I have no idea what the hell's going on with this fucking horse. And it's like, I guess I put him too close to the wall. But there's the GIF version of it, no audio. But I was like, okay, whatever. And I have seen some people post some GIFs that are like funky stuff, but nothing crazy. I haven't seen anything too absurd. But yeah, I was like, what the fuck is my horse doing?
And then it just disappears.
And I was like, my horse just killed himself. So I was like, he's a Japanese horse. He committed seppuku.
You left him alone too long and he had separation anxiety.
I guess, or like, because I parked him. I got off and kind of on a slope, so maybe he sloped down into the wall, I guess.
Oh,
I
don't know. Yeah.
Maybe, like, it just kind of glitched out like that, but I was like, okay, whatever. But, and that, like, that sucked because that objective was out in the middle of nowhere. And I was like, well, all right, I'm going to have to run now. I'm going to have to hoof it. No pun intended.
I guess I'm walking through this desert.
Yep. I still have one map I haven't played in Battlefield. And it's like, because the problem is I don't quite know all the map names yet because they're all European cities or Middle Eastern deserts kind of thing. So I like, I know a couple of them, but I don't know all of them like by heart. Like I know a lot from the last couple games because I put a ton of hours into those other games. But yeah, there's just one map I haven't played yet. There's a few quality of life things they have to add to it. They took out customizing your soldier in the main menu for some reason. I think they had an issue with it network-wise. I don't know what it was. But you can do it when you're in a match, and you can do it on the companion app on the phone, which is where I was doing it. I was unlocking stuff on there. The problem with unlocking stuff on your phone or changing loadout is it's not instantaneous with the server. I don't know what the refresh rate is on it because, like, for example, I was in the middle of a match and I was like, "Oh, I want to change my stuff real quick." So I just went onto the application where we're in the menu, and updated my gear, and then went into it, but it wasn't changed yet. I was like, "I don't know how long it has to change," but you can do it there. Obviously, it's short enough that if you're at work, it'll be there by the time you get off work and, you know, go play or whatever. But it's not instant. And then they need to add a, say like a better quit options when the match ends. I think I saw at one point they patch in when the round ends that I could just hit triangle to quit, but I think it's pretty later on. But yeah, other than that, I mean, it's great. They've already said they're going to be announcing some new stuff, a new game type, Fog of War, and then some new battle packs. The new map's going to be coming out, I think, in December, maybe the end of this month. And yeah, they're also bringing rented servers in, which they're bringing in super quick. That took a while, I think, for Battlefield 4 to get rented servers. The downside is I hope they don't do the same thing they did for that happened to 3 on consoles. I don't know if it happened on 4. It might have, but, or maybe it was just the fact that so many people got fucking rent servers that it was hard to find. It became, when rented servers came around, it came in 3 especially, it became really hard to find official DICE servers. Like, they just cut the amount of servers they had, I guess, because so many people were renting. The downside was that everybody who did rented servers had, like, either some bullshit rules or some dumb game options turned on, or, like, it'd be Conquest with, like, 1,000 times tickets. So the Conquest games, it lasts fucking forever. And if your team's getting dominated, then it's just fucking pointless. Mm-hmm. And I hated that. I was like, this is so boring. And I was like, why would you play this? There's like, no shotguns, no grenades, no fun. It's like, we'll boot you. And people just fucking abusing being an admin. So it was like, I always hated that crap. And I had a rented server in Battlefield 3. And it was nice to have because for a while it was actually being used because I just kept the standard options. I didn't make anything crazy. But I did just turn on 3 private slots so me and my cousin and Flash could all get on there with no problem.
Yeah.
Because that was a nice thing. Like, oh, let's get on. Oh, well, this server is always going to have a spot for us because I own it. but then after a while, it just kind of fell out of being used. I think because I bought it early on. And then eventually when more people got on, I guess they got tired of playing the standard stuff and they wanted to play more weird custom things.
Yeah.
As long as they don't drop support for their primary servers, I'll be fine. I don't want no custom garbage. I wish they would show in the server browser how much time has elapsed on a particular map or what this current score is, because the one thing I hate is like I'm server browsing, like, okay, let's find a server that has, you know, 4 slots for all of us. Okay, I got one, we join in, and it's like right at the end or something. I know in, I think anyways, that in Battlefield 3 the server browsers had the option where it showed you how much time had elapsed if you viewed that server, and you could see what maps were next in the rotation. And what game type it was, or, you know, so, but don't know. It'd just be nice to have it there when I was sorting the servers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, other than that, it's great. I know Dishonored 2 comes out soon. I think next week or maybe the week after, I think, actually. Looking forward to that. Of course, there will be delayed reviews for it since it's from Bethesda. But I don't see why it wouldn't be good. Dishonored 1 was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I look forward to playing that.
I fucking love their commercials.
Yeah, that...
No, that's like a weird thing, but like they have some of the best fucking commercials I've seen for a game in a long time.
Well, they've been doing live-action commercials, which I think are really cool. Though the one live-action I watched at first, I was like, is this live-action? This just looks like high-quality CG for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized later, oh, okay, this is live-action. Obviously, there's CG elements, but it is live-action. a lot of games have been doing that recently, where they do a live-action version of their stuff. I feel like that started with Halo, because Halo ODST had a live-action trailer directed by Rupert Grint. He was the guy that did Snow White and the Huntsman. This was before that movie, of course. But then it just seemed like a lot of people think Call of Duty started doing. I wouldn't necessarily call them trailers, but they're just like, you know, the people, celebrities running around a battlefield, fighting each other using Call of Duty stuff, calling in Call of Duty strikes and all that stuff. Like, they started doing that for the advertisements. I wouldn't consider those trailers. I just consider those commercials.
Yeah.
But they were live action commercials, so.
I like them. As long as they're done really good, I like live action stuff. I like the costuming part of it. All the costumes look so cool and, like, I don't know. It just looks really, really cool.
Yeah. It's a cool thing. I'm curious how much it costs to do that kind of stuff, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's not cheap in any way.
Nope. But yeah, other than that, I guess that's basically it. I don't want to ramble on about Battlefield, and I don't want to go around. I already talked about Tomb Raider, so I mean, aside from spoiling that, don't even want to say anything else. I still need to finish the DLC for Tomb Raider, though. I also want to play I need to play all the other stuff that came in the 20th anniversary collection, like the Family Ties DLC and the walk around Croft Manor and all that. I need to do that stuff at some point. I might maybe fit that in between when I'm not playing Battlefield 1, but... And I'm hoping they release a bunch more. I feel like they can do single-player DLC war stories for Battlefield 1 pretty easily. Granted, it would take longer than multiplayer DLC because you got to do the audio recordings and, you know, design new stuff, because obviously multiplayer maps are going to be based off the campaign maps. Yeah, the war stories for Battlefield 1 are really good. The one for the pilot, the American pilot that is fighting with the British, I liked his story. It was really good. So was the Australian campaign. Was great. They're all really good. Like, they're great little war stories. But yeah, I'm on the last one, the Lawrence of Arabia, where you're playing as the Bedouin woman. I'm only on mission. There's only three missions for that one, but I'm on the second one. But yeah, I would love to see some more war stories. I think that'd be a lot of fun. Especially because I've been listening to Dan Harmon's Hardcore History on World War One, so it's like just listening to that and learning stuff, and then playing the game at the same time. It's like, I don't know, just complimenting each other. So it's just pretty crazy. But yeah, other than that, I guess that'll do it. We need a secret word.
Oh yeah.
I was gonna do Mark McGrath, but I didn't want to do that. let's see. Right here. So what did we do last time? I think the last time we did costume was the last one. Let's see. Secret word. Nah, we'll do horse. Horse. So the animal, not your talking or whatever. Okay, so horse is the secret word. Like, my throat feels hoarse. No. So horse is the secret word. That'll be it. Like, hopefully we'll get some more news soon. I feel like things have been so quiet. It's just nothing but wikis and minor stuff. And I mean, maybe we'll have that game company, their game will be announced, or some crazy way it'll be leaked because they'll be viewing it while walking across a bridge or something, and a pedestrian sees it. I don't know. some crazy way. But yeah, hopefully we'll have more stuff to talk about next time. But yeah, thank you, Zai, for joining. And hopefully Izzy will make it next round. And we will see you guys next time.